All right, how's everybody doing?
Tired.
Good.
Tired and good. Tired and good. Who's going first, tired or good?
Have good go.
Olivia,
so anyway,
what's new since Monday? Yeah.
Yeah, since Monday. You know, I got all my team in place, but they're not working.
That's not good.
It's not good at all. It's like, what is going on? My salesperson, she says, I said, I expected her to start calling. I got her all signed up with the 1099 in that independent contractor form.
Yep.
And she goes, can I start the calls such and such a day? I said, yeah. You know, I don't have that many. I had like 30 ready to go. And then, as far as I know, she hasn't made any calls. Now, my thought was that she would be making calls every day without me having to tell her.
Right.
Okay. And then, so my bird dog's doing well. She's kind of slow. There's the learning curve with, instead of the Excel sheet, you know, putting them in like we're supposed to, just like the videos say. And then
that should be fairly easy, right? I mean, take a picture, email it, save that unique email for your campaign in their phone, and then put the address in the subject line. That should be a pretty quick learning curve, I would think.
Well, exactly. And then I figured out, thank you, I figured out how come I didn't do those campaigns right. I skipped over that step. So, but anyway, and so the real estate gal that was going to give me, she pledged to give me 24 to 36 leads a day, hasn't entered one. And I said, hey, is everything going okay? And I said, I need them entered daily. And she goes, sure. And I haven't had a one in. So.
Yep. Hey, this is the personnel thing. So you've got to.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You've got to be really clear with your salesperson.
Yeah.
You know, my understanding was you'd be on the phone every day. Was that your understanding as well? So let's just make sure everybody's on the same page. And then you've got to find out if they can do that. If that's what they're going to do moving forward, because it's either the business needs what it needs, and it's either that person can handle that and do it and be effective at it, or they can't, or they won't. Those are two options.
Exactly.
One's, one's their decision and the other isn't. So.
Right.
Yeah,
Libby, this is huge. So
Go ahead.
Well, you know what, and I was going to get those vacant house deals to have some, but do we have to pay $500 for those to get those vacant house deals outside?
It's active in your account. I emailed you.
Well, what does that mean, active in my account?
That you can just search anywhere in the country and they'll show up.
Really? I thought I had to do something. You said it was active, but I wasn't sure what that meant.
Well, that's what it meant.
Well, awesome. So I have a fallback, which is good. So anyway, I need to get on my personnel now and make sure and be the boss.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, even if it's challenging to be the boss. You can be the boss in your own way. But it's either they're going to do it or they're not. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's pretty simple. And then you've got to evaluate. And this is an ongoing, you always have to evaluate.
Right.
You know, are the personnel that you have in place getting it done? Where is it working? Yeah. Where is it not? Who needs to be swapped out? Do you need additional help?
Yeah.
And this goes, you know, it comes up frequently on here, but you got to have more than one bird dog because people do what people do. You need to have more than one skip tracer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance you'll have more than one salesperson. It just depends.
Yeah.
But you got to be ready to make switches, right? So the business keeps on ticking.
Well, and that's one big lesson I've learned, Mike, is to not let things go on too long. You know?
No.
Cut your losses. So.
Have to. Yep.
Yes, have to.
Yep.
Okay. Well, great. That's about all I have. Thanks. I'll get on it.
You're welcome. Kyle, are you going to jump in, or are you looking?
I think there's somebody else that's on there. Yeah, no, I need to talk quick, but there's somebody else that's ahead of me. I think there was somebody else in there, Mike or somebody.
Yeah, I don't remember. You were the first two that said hi, you and Olivia, so. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I wrote the contract on that one deal. Thought I had it sold already. I still might have it sold, but the guy wanted to close. He took. I offered him the two deals. He took the cheapest one. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, got to close
yeah,
by
so
the.
Just to recap from Monday. So you were going to throw on the table. Cheaper price, but you would close faster, or you were going
right.
to tell him, I can pay a little more if you can give me 45 days to move it. And so he
yeah.
went. He went with the shorter time period.
Yeah, but what's really funny is when I got said and done, he said, well, if you don't get it closed then, I can just extend it out. So,
love it.
So offered him 40. I've got it on the market
okay.
for 65. But there's $10,000 and yeah, but there's $10,000 worth of taxes owed. $9,000. So
okay, so you really have
really,
like 50.
Yeah, no. really, honestly, yeah. As far as I've got it to where I'll make about 15 on it if I get it done.
And is
anyway,
this I don't remember. Is this a flip or a rental, or is this one that can be either?
It's a flip. It's
okay.
The numbers come in. At about a $42,000 profit on flipping,
okay.
which is pretty good.
Okay.
And
yep.
But my gal, she got me, then that was the other day. She started on Thursday. She
okay.
got me two to look at and one I wrote. And then today
yep.
she got me two more. I've got
nice.
Appointments. I've got two appointments tomorrow.
Awesome.
One of them I wanted to ask you about. I don't know the numbers yet. I've had a terrible day, honestly. with my houses, and we kind of ran out of money for the time being. You know, I got a brother-in-law who's tight as a bark on a tree, millionaire. And
yep.
at any rate, so that caused some problems. But the one deal, the gal wants to sell it, but she said, you know, she don't want to pay the capital gains tax. And
okay.
I don't know what – I'll have to check. Do you know what capital gains tax runs? Is it a flat fee or is it –
Yeah, good
Something
question.
Else.
I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't either. I can call my attorney and find out. But
else on
I'm thinking mind? She no more than she paid for it back when she bought it. If I can buy it cheap enough, I'll just pay her taxes. You know?
You could. Yeah,
yeah.
I like where your head's going, right? Sometimes we have to get a little creative. And
hey, you always have to
think
get creative.
Outside the box.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, in fact, the guy that wants the other house, he told me, you know, I'll probably take it. Well, then he called me back and said, you know, I can't do the deal. So I saw him a while ago over at one of my houses, and I said, this is a good deal. I'd keep it myself, but I don't have the money for it right now. Why
what
can't
was
you
his
take
re- it? Yeah, what was
he
his
said,
reason?
Well, he said my partner is waiting on his money, and the 15th's a little too quick. I said, find out what he can do. He can go 30 days. I'll make it work.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
So are they still maybe in?
Yeah, they might be in yet. He's gonna talk to him tomorrow.
And then
see, but also,
who are you talking to in the meantime?
Well, I sent it out to one of my wholesalers that may have somebody really interested in it. And
okay.
he said he's up room in it. He could add a little bit. I don't want to get too much into that, honestly, because, like I said, I think these wholesalers so many times are, you know, trying to make the killing, and you don't want to eat into the profits of the rehabber, I don't think.
Absolutely
not.
If
it's not a good
yeah,
deal for the rehabber, then, yeah. And I'd take less. If I have to take less, I could go 10 grand on the thing. I mean, 15 would be nice, but I don't want
yeah,
to
like
kill
where
it.
You're at. You've got a little room.
So,
if somebody comes back and says, you know, I can't pay this, but I can pay X, you've got a little wiggle room in there. So
yeah.
But
yeah,
you
go on down the road.
Hal, you hit the nail on the head. If first of all, if you're trying to sell deals that don't have any room on them, nobody will take them. If you do end up finding somebody that's a little bit newer and they buy it, they won't come back. So
that's right.
Yeah, you absolutely have to. If you want to make more as a wholesaler, you got to tie them up for less. That's
yep.
where the room for more margin is. Yeah, turn over
yeah.
good deals and you'll build the reputation you want. So
well,
who,
yeah, that's
who
what
else
I think. Came back to you guys. Okay.
What else are you doing on the to find buyers? You've had two.
Well,
we got
to
be talking to more
you.
Than two people.
I know that. I've got a whole list. I've got to find the time. I got to make the time to do my buyer list. I got a bunch of buyers that are in the area.
So don't even worry about, well, I should say, if you want to upload them into FreedomSoft and do a blast text, that's a good way to get it because, you know, people will see it. And if, but other than that, you know, get your story together and you're a rehabber. So, you know how to tell the story on this and pick up that phone, get people over to it. Can you get them inside?
Oh yeah.
Is there a lockbox? What's that?
No, somebody kicked the door in and I'm actually thinking about spending a little, I normally want to do this, but it's got a lot of junk in it. I mean, mattresses, you know what they look like. It was like a hoarder lived there, and it was a rental, but it's got, you got a, there's no floor space that you can see. It's that bad. So I was thinking about getting a dumpster over there and cleaning it out. And I think I'm going to put a deal on Craigslist tonight because, you know, the stuff we use FreedomSoft for. Because there's always deals on there. You know, wholesalers got deals, and that's the way I found them before.
Right. I'm trying to think. I've never put money into a house prior to selling it. I mean, at the end of the day, a rehabber is going to come through this, right? They're going to look at it just like you would and said, this is a dumpster and a half, and, you know, three quarters of a day with two laborers to get this out.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I'm thinking about it. It cost me $350. I got some people that owe me money that I've helped out that can do the clean out for, you know, come out of my pocket. So for $350, it'll be clean. It's got hardwood floors. You can see the floors. And so even if I end up taking a little less than 15, I still made a good deal.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it, if we get a newbie that comes through, they can make 40 some thousand on a house. That's a good deal for him. The newbie can't see through the crud. That's what I've found over the years.
They'll have a hard time.
Understand.
But here's when you're telling the story, you're going to help them see through the crud. So say, listen.
Yeah.
The door's kicked
in.
That. You're going to walk over, and it's going to be a wreck. How many fix and flips have you done, Hal? Zero. It's my first one. All right. I've done, right? And you can go right into, here's what it's going to look like. Don't sweat it. It's a dumpster and a couple days' labor. And I tell you what, you end up buying this from me, I'll get a couple guys over there in a roll-off, and I'll even take care of it. And so when you have it, you know, the majority of the inside will be cleaned out.
Yeah, you're probably right. The reason I
like that method better.
Yeah, nothing is better. Yeah, I'll probably do that.
Just tell them if they're new, because you can ask them. Hey, how many rehabs do you do a year? Just assume that they're a rock star. I'm looking to get my first one. Oh, okay, let me give you a little heads up on this thing. When you go inside, yada, 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 you're not going to be able to see any floor. It looks like a hoarder house, no big deal. It's got good bones underneath it, hardwood floor. It's a day and a half. Tell you what, you grab this thing, I'll send over a dumpster and a couple laborers, and you've got the first roll-off and a couple of laborers for an entire day on me to get that thing cleaned out. So...
That's a good idea. I never thought of that. I like that idea. Okay.
Just make it a part of your story. That's it. No,
yep.
No need to do any work on it. Because you don't want to put time, energy, effort, and money into something that potentially doesn't go anywhere. Now, there's a good chance it does because it sounds like these numbers are solid. But
they're rock solid.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that zip code is a hot zip code. You won't find many deals like that.
So you need an ad immediately on Craigslist that says, I have a contract for sale in this zip code. They're hard to find. It's a great little house. Tell them that, you know, there's plenty of room on the back end of this thing. I'm a rehabber myself. I know how this works. Tell people that, you know, politely pat yourself on the back, and let them know what's going on and get that out there and get people to call. The other thing... Get a get bandit signs up in the neighborhood that says contract for sale in this area, in this neighborhood.
Okay. That's a good idea, too. I thought of that.
And then rehabbers driving around, it's like a reverse bandit sign. You're not looking for a seller. looking for the buyer, but it's super effective. Rob has used that, and right, we've talked about it multiple times on here. I don't know if anybody's done it yet. Rob does that over and over and over and over again.
Really?
Puts out a bandit sign, contract for sale in this neighborhood. Heck yeah, call this number.
Huh. I'll do it.
Yep.
I'll do it. Okay.
Yeah, it works. So, Hal, by Monday, we want this sucker under contract.
Yeah, we do.
You'll make it happen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If not, we'll just humiliate you in front of the group.
I know it. I may not call that day.
Oh, yeah, you'll call.
Yeah,
man,
will.
This is a good deal. There's room on the back end. It's a good neighborhood, you said. You know it from the data. People are flipping there. You're flipping there. So
yeah,
this is a no-brainer.
I'm flipping three doors down.
This is going to take a little legwork just to find the buyer, tell the story. I would guess you tell the story on this thing 10 times or less, and somebody says, I'll take it from you. That'd be my hunch.
I got a four-page deal on it. I've got all the comps on it and everything. Pictures of the comp, the whole bit.
Yep, get that sucker out there. And you're gonna have to move it by phone. Just plan on it. But yeah, let's get this bad boy wrapped up.
All right, man.
Good stuff. Who else? Is Ben on? I told Ben he has to come on and ask me his good questions on office hours. I'll check on him later. He had some good ones that came in, and I said, "Hey, everybody would probably enjoy hearing your questions." So anyway, I'll see if he's here in a little bit. Who else is with us?
I'm here. It's Tom.
Hey, Tom.
I've done nothing but taxes. Woke up in the middle of the night and realized I hadn't done my taxes, and it's almost October. Yeah, so it's been a full court press on that. So my
Uncle Sam, I come knocking. What's that?
I know my sales guy hasn't done anything yet, but he works at a car dealership, so he's going to start cranking up in the next couple of days.
That's a piece I didn't know. He has a full time gig, and how much time did he commit to you?
Well, we didn't really talk about it. I thought he was part-time. I think he is, but I think a couple of people were sick. We've got a few cases of flu around here. I don't know if you know that, but and I think he's just had to step in. But I will, when I talk to him tonight, I'm going to figure that
out.
Here's
what you need from him. You need how many hours a week are you going to be on the phone calling my leads, because I know he's fired up, and what you're going to have to do is say that that answer is good enough, and that's the time you need, or you got to put somebody else, you got to find a second. Those are going to be the two options. Yep.
Right.
But yeah, when you're bringing people on, you have to know how much time they can commit. The business has to have somebody on the phone, and so either they can take care of that, or they can't. But make that a part of what's going on up front. That initial conversation, you've got to know. So yeah, Tom, find out ASAP, and then based on the answer, like I said, you'll either accept it or you'll immediately start talking to more salespeople.
All right.
Those are the two options.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it for now.
Okay. Who else?
Hey, Mike, this is Ben.
Ben is in the house. All right.
I'm here.
Did you bring those good questions you had?
I did.
Because I'm drawing a blank. What were they? I think you had two. You had at least two, maybe three. Might have been four.
I had like three or four, I think. I don't know. Well, maybe not. They're not all good, but I'll give you all of them.
Yeah, I thought they were good. Hit me with the first one.
So I had a guy, well, I had a house, I still have a house under contract. Owner told me a few things about the condition, not really accurate. Repair turns out to be...
Yep, I remember this one.
Really 25 instead of 10. So what to do to get him to renegotiate?
So here's what happened. Ben is having a conversation with the seller, just like he should be. Hey, what kind of condition is the house in? Seller tells him it's decent, livable. They start talking, what do you think about 10 grand? Yeah, 10 grand will cover it. Ben sends a couple buyers through, and they say there's no way this only needs 10 grand. This is closer to 25. And I told Ben, here's what you do. You go back to the seller. You tell them because, right, we disclose up front what we're doing. So they know that in most cases you're not the buyer, but you're plugged in to buyers in the area. And the buyers have spoken, right? Buyers in the neighborhood went by. This thing needs more like 25. At 25, the contract price that we originally drew up does not work. So I told him you have two options. Go back to the seller and say the market has spoken. This is where we need to be. Does that number work for you? And they will either say yes or no. If they say yes, you're under contract at a new price. And if they say no, you say, hey, I tell you what, then we need to terminate the original agreement because that price just isn't going to work. And I told Ben to, part on good terms and say, if you change your mind and you end up deciding that price does work, I'd love to help you out and take care of you. And then put that person on a long, follow up in 30 days, whatever, 3 to 4 weeks. Stay on them, have his salesperson stay on them, and see what happens. But you got feedback from the market, a lot more fix-up needed. You go back, that's why it's called an inspection period. Inspection has now been done based on the findings. Original contract needs to be renegotiated. Seller either agrees or doesn't. So those are the two options. And, I told him just be matter-of-fact about it. Here's the fact. These are the facts. The market will tell us if we're at the right price or not, because it always does. Whether it's a retail house or, whether the market, our investors in the area, the market will pay what the market says the place is worth. And so the market has spoken. So, and it's relevant. It happens. So we typically round up a little bit, but I don't fault Ben for this at all. I mean, if they're telling me it's in good shape, I maybe would have gone from 10 to 15, but I wouldn't have gone 10 to 25. That's not rounding up, right? That's doubling plus them. So, this is how it works. The other piece of this is when you set this up with your buyers, we always tell them, hey, listen, we haven't been through the house, but we've spoken to the seller extensively. This is what they said the place needs. Based on that, put your rehab estimate about 10 grand. And that way, if the buyer goes out and it needs more, it's not that your fix-up numbers are way off. So just tell them what you know. This one goes right back on the seller. Their problem, their fault, not Ben. So, good question. What was the next one?
Bird dog issues finding actually a bird dog that will actually follow through and how to encourage them to do so.
Yep. So this one comes up fairly frequently. And here's what you have to do. And this is what I was telling Ben. A lot of times when people see this ad, if you're renovating your kitchen, hit *6 for us. So a lot of times, a bird dog, first of all, we don't use the word bird dog in our ad. We just say, if you have a smartphone and a car, you can get paid. Here's what we need you to do. But once they read that ad, what they're thinking is, if they've never been around real estate, is this even a job? I mean, is this legit? As investors, we talk about bird dogs, getting leads from the field, driving for dollars. That's all.
Damn,
that's all investor lingo. Yeah. Hey, if you're in a noisy environment, hit *6 for us, please. All right, we'll see if that works. So there, right? We talk about it like it's an everyday thing. That's common investor lingo. But if you're just scouring through looking to make some money and you hear about that, really, I can drive around, take a picture of a house, send an email, and get paid, there's probably a little skepticism right there, okay? The ones who are saying, yeah, I'll give it a shot, are the ones calling, but they're still skeptical. So what I was telling Ben is when you get them on the phone, say, have you even heard of a job, you know, a job like this before where you drive for dollars? Just assume that they have it. No, I've never heard of it. Okay, I'm an investor in our world. This is normal. You know, we call it getting leads from the field. So here's the thing. You probably want to know, if you've never heard of this, you want to know that I'm legit. So before we take up a bunch of your time, can you give me 15 to 20 minutes this afternoon? Go drive this zip code. See if you can grab me 10 photos, right? If you grab fewer than that, that's fine. You know, 10 would be ideal, but get me a handful. Again, don't drive around for more than about 20 minutes. Give me your email address and I'll get you paid on them. And if you do it today, you know, before 6 p.m., I'll give you a whatever, $15, $20 bonus on top of that, because I want you to know that I'm serious. So put yourself in their shoes. Take whatever you think is the biggest obstacle or hurdle in their mind on why they wouldn't get started. Squash it, put it on the table, get past it, and see if you can't get somebody to go drive for you right away.
Good tip.
Because once they get paid, then they think, yeah, this is for real. I can really just drive around, take a picture, send an email, which is a 60-second tops activity, and make some money. So did you have a third, Ben, or did we just talk about those two?
No, I had, I think, two more. Well,
okay.
The next one was how to actually – talking to interested sellers, how do you actually get them to pull the trigger? You know, they're kind of wishy-washy but interested. And your advice was send them the contract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was saying he's talking to somebody, a seller, and they just don't want to get off the fence. They're hemming and hawing. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Yeah, I told him set up the contract. Yeah, right. Through the conversation, you have their email. You at least have their address. And fire it to them. So based on how you're going to send it, you've got to adjust the date and time that the contract is good until. If you're going to email it, 12 to 24 hours should be fine, something like that. If you're going to snail mail it, you're going to have to make the contract good for a couple days, right, if you think it'll take two or three to get there, whatever the case, and then give them a day or two to sign and get it back to you. But, yeah, if somebody's on the fence, put a contract in their hand that's signed by you with a date, actual contract, and see what happens. So that's for those sellers that are just undecided.
Okay.
Put it in front of them and see what happens. It's the best next step. So yeah, that was a great question.
Yeah, and then the last one was your recommendations for leads that are not really responsive, or maybe you talk to them once, but they won't call you back anymore. What to do with those guys? Maybe
yeah, and that was
a letter, or postcard, or whatever.
Yeah, yep. It's Rob uses that email to mail. You have to have an account with Click to Mail, but he'll type off, and this is what I was telling Ben: two or three letter templates based on what happened. You know, you put them in FreedomSoft. You can either upload them or you can just type them right there with the document generator. Build out a couple different letter type scenarios and drop it in the mail to them. I think if you go to email to mail directly there, it's 89 cents. They'll print it off, put it in the envelope, postage goes on it. You know, the person that's receiving it, their address goes on the envelope, and you fire it off. And so that's something that you can help your salespeople out, right? Or if you're on the phone, you can help yourself. But you're going to come into different scenarios, and you say, "Man, I just need to drop a letter to this person, you know, and see for whatever the circumstance was." Ben, what was the one you brought up, the scenario where we were talking about putting a quick little letter together?
I can't remember exactly, but like, I think there are a few that the salesperson I have has talked to somebody, like on the initial call, they talked for a little bit, and then she's called back and they just haven't been responsive or haven't answered or returned her messages. So
gotcha. So just not that's right. Just not responding to a message, voicemail, or a text. That's a great lead to send a quick little letter to that says, you know, something like, I mean, these things can be 4 or 5 sentences. Hey, we had a great conversation the other day. I left you a voicemail but haven't heard back. I realize you're busy. You know, I'd love to continue the conversation we were having. Give me a buzz at your convenience or whatever, you know, whatever the case. And that's the thing is you can just make it as your salesperson bumps into these few different scenarios. You know, you'll be asking them, hey, you know, what's happening with people, with leads? Are they calling you back, this, that, and the other? You'll get them from whoever's on the phone. And you'll say, yeah, cool, let me throw together a quick little letter template for you. And then, you know, here's how you can use FreedomSoft. Send it over to email to mail. It charges 89 cents on your account, and then your salesperson has another follow-up tool. So,
okay. Those were the questions I had for you.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks for bringing them up.
I'll give you a real quick update for me.
Yeah.
I just, before I called, met with the second salesperson. And she's great, so I'm going to get her on board. And right before I met with her, got one of the sellers called me back and agreed to the offer I made her, so I'm going to get that in his contract tomorrow.
Love it. Tell us about what are the numbers?
The numbers, it's a small house, 2 beds, 1 bath, 688 square feet, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to get under contract. I'm getting on a contract for $3,200.
Okay.
It needs 20 or so in work. Rents are about $550.
Okay.
Maybe 6.
And you have buyer activity in the area?
Yeah.
Nice. I like that price. I would be surprised. Here's the thing: a 688 square feet. 20 grand, you could just about, not quite build that thing ground up, but pretty close. So, I mean, even if those numbers, what do you think you're going to try and sell it for?
Well, it needs probably like 7. I'm not going to add too much to it because there was a roof leak, and I had somebody take pictures. And so there's maybe some mold concerns.
Okay. So, yeah, if you've got a little mold mitigation in there, you could stretch to 20 potentially. So what did you say it rented for, 700 or did you
about,
say 5?
No, 550, maybe 6, but probably about 550 because it's really a one-bedroom with a really small second bedroom.
So 385 net, 20. So check this out. So Ben's going to try and sell it at 7. So let's say I'm the end buyer. He tells me I got to put 20 into it. So I'm buying it for 7, 20,000 reno. I'm at 27 grand. Call it 28, 29,000 all in price for a nice little, for a little rental, right? 550 gross rent times 70% is 385. $29,000 all in divided by 385. 75 months divided by 12, 6.3 year return of cash. Good, bad,
nice.
Terrible, awesome. Where's that?
It's pretty decent, I think.
Yeah, that's strong.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's strong. And then let's take 385 net monthly times 12, net annual, 4620 divided by 29,000, 15.9, 16% return. Basically a 16 cap little deal. So, Ben, these are strong numbers. The only other question is, well, a couple things. I think you could potentially mark it up a little higher, but what you want to do now is this is where you go to the data out of ListSource and say, okay, what's the investor price in this neighborhood? And that's where that data comes in really handy because you've got it super cheap. Are investors buying at, you know, 5,000, 7, 10, 12? Because it seems like, I mean, it seems like you could, you could sell this thing for 10 and still be moving a deal with pretty solid numbers on it. So.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to mark it up much more because I just want to
Just turn and burn?
A really good deal out to the buyer, so they're, you know, looking for more.
I like it. Hey, have your
I'm just happy to make a few dollars.
Have your bird dog throw some signs out in this neighborhood. I'm telling you guys, contract for sale in this neighborhood. Call this number.
Okay.
Yep.
Good idea.
Get it out there, because investors, landlords, property managers who are driving around, those are strong little numbers. I'm assuming that, right, that you've done some research and there's investor activity in the area. So get ready to get this thing under contract, start telling the story, get it to every property manager you can find, get some signs in the neighborhood, and be ready to go all out with your buyers, get this sucker wrapped up. That's a good little price.
I'm still shocked you can buy a house for $3,000.
Because you live in Denver.
Yes, you can. Yeah, I know.
Can't buy a post box for that.
Right.
Right.
All right. Yeah, Mike, so inflated here. All right. Yeah, good stuff, man. I'm looking forward to a Monday update with paperwork signed, sealed, delivered, and some progress on buyers, if not under contract. That thing will, assuming this isn't total war zone missiles flying overhead, those are strong numbers. So nice job.
Thank you.
Who else?
Hey, Mike, Hussein.
Hey, Hussein.
How are you?
Yeah. Good, you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
I'll probably be finishing that deal evaluation spreadsheet. This last 10 days, I'm not getting that much time, so that's why I'm being behind. But I'll try to catch up and try to finish and go to step three before next session.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. It sounded like you got through step two good. Any further questions, obviously email them in. But even if you have a couple, I want you to start on step three, and we'll answer some step two questions while you get a bird dog in place, get some leads generated. So good stuff.
Thank you.
Yep, keep it moving forward. Absolutely. I told everybody, we're always going to push. Some of you can move a little faster than others. That's okay. We expect it. We just want you to be on the faster side of what your life allows for. That's where we want to be. So, people come to the table with different things in place. That's part of it. So, let's get questions answered quick, like we were talking about Monday, and keep the boat moving forward. So, who else? I heard Quinn check in, but I didn't catch any other names. So I know we have more people on, though.
Mike, it's Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Okay, I'm working on bird dogs as we speak. Wednesday, somebody was supposed to start, but then again, they never answered their emails or phone when they were supposed to start. So still, I got four more people, so they're going to do it starting tomorrow. So
that's right. Don't be afraid to launch more than you think you need and then back them off if necessary, because not everybody's going to come through. And then you heard what I told Ben about getting a bird dog started, right? Were you on for the call there? Okay.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Take away what you think to be their biggest fear and just solve it and say, just give me 20 minutes. See if you can grab 10 leads. I'm going to send you to a zip code where there are going to be a lot of vacant houses. Drive around, snap some photos, send them back. I'll pay you today. I want you to know that, right? Just put it all on your shoulders. At the end of the day, you're trying to get a feel for them just like they are you. But put all of that on your shoulders and just say, listen, you want to know if this is even a serious gig, and I want to show you that it is. So give me a little bit of time, and I'll give you some money. And let's kick this thing off. I want you to know that I'm for real.
So somebody should be able to drive, at least seven in an hour, 7 to 10?
I mean, depending on where you send them. I mean, in the markets, this is why we work the strategy in lower price markets. You could drive all around Denver and find a handful. But when you go to these neighborhoods, there will be not always a vacant on every block, but, you know, so, I mean, Rob's buying in Memphis, and he grabbed his phone and he shot it out the window going down the street. And a lot of these neighborhoods, there will be multiple on each block. So it just depends. But, yeah, you can, I mean, 20 minutes driving up and down streets to find 10 is well within reason, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, because I got an email from somebody being the smart ass, $3, are you serious? Are you crazy? I'm going, I didn't respond to it, but I don't know what they're
yeah, just whatever. Buying.
So.
Yeah.
But
next.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just responded to 5 more today, so let's see what they they say they can do it, but who knows. So.
Yeah, I think Ben was saying he's got a guy, and, you know, we were talking about some of the side benefit of this business. I mean, not only working with real estate is cool, whether you fix it up, sell it to somebody that's going to fix it up, sell it to a landlord that's going to rent it, people, a family is going to be in this house for a while, and you're a part of it, right? I mean, we, as wholesalers or whatever, we initiate that process. If you also do the fix and flip, then you turn over a house to society that's good for the next 30, 40, 50 years, you know, and is going to stand up and livable and nice and all that kind of stuff. So it has this really cool beyond the money value to it. And then Ben was saying that he's got a bird dog. He's on permanent disability. So it's pretty challenging for him to get out. But he loves the fact that when he's capable, he can go earn some extra dollars. And so he's not going to be Ben's primary bird dog, but when he can fit in. And to this guy, it's a big deal. He can go make some extra money. And so we're having a conversation about it. You know, this business brings some cool stuff like that that we don't always see to the table, where you just never know, you know, who's going to be on the other end and respond to your ad. And, you know, it puts us in a cool spot. So, but yeah, hire 3 to 5, and then 1 to 2 will pan out. You may have to hire more. You may, you know, sometimes you get lucky, and your first or second bird dog goes out of the gate. But, you know, in general, you're going to hire multiple and see what happens. But yeah, set them up that way. Just set them up and say, "Give me 20 minutes. Let me show you that I'm for real." And that way you're taking all the responsibility. It costs them only 20 minutes, and just get them past that hurdle. Because typically once people get paid, then they realize, hey, that was easy. I'd like to do that again. So.
Okay. Yeah. I just got to, get them going and quit. I don't know. Getting tired of the I'll do it. And no response after that. But
you just have to put money on the table and, you know, tell them that you're serious. Just go right to the, here's the thing. Let me prove to you that I'm for real. I'm going to pay for these. Can you give me 20 minutes today before 6 p.m. and see what they say?
Yep.
So, put it on the table. Say, I'm going to wire you the money. Take your significant other out to dinner. It's on me. I just need 20 minutes of your time. Show you that I'm for real, and then we'll talk about how we're going to move forward tomorrow. Whatever. Get creative with it.
Yeah,
but,
get an incentive for them.
You got it.
Okay.
The best color for the best color for incentive is green.
Green. Yes? Yep.
And then, ideally, you'll find somebody that you have to tell them to slow down a bit. I know Gary. He's a lot of you remember Gary, but he's relocating. He and his wife are moving from Hawaii to Florida to be closer to grandkids, and it's taking a while. So he'll be plugging back in here. Hopefully in the near future, but he found a bird dog down in Texas that I can't remember how many leads they brought him. I think they have a landscape company, and they're out driving around anyway. And they were just, I mean, he went beyond 1500 in a couple weeks. They were just killing it.
Yeah.
Raking them in. So anyway. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so one lady emailed, I gave her 7 zip codes in the Jacksonville area, which I'm sure is pretty big, a lot of area.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have this in no time. You better send me more. I'm going, okay, I need the first one first.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, put a little incentive on the table for the first 10.
Yeah.
And say, you know, go get me 10. It's not going to cost you much time. I'll pay you $3 a lead, and I'll throw in an extra 15 or 20 on top of that, whatever. I'll give you $50. I'll, you know, prove to you that I'm for real, and then we're off and running. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. All right.
Yeah. Good stuff. You're right. You're right there. Do you have a Skip Tracer lined up, ready to go?
I do not. I got to find one of those. Or
yeah, you need to get that.
Get like Fiverr or something to do that for you? Or
say that again?
Where do you get a Skip Tracer? You just Google one online? Or?
No, it's in the coaching center. You're going to post an ad on Upwork.com. Follow that video and that process.
Okay.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Larry. Get that ad online. Because as soon as leads start coming in, you can have your Skip Tracer logging into FreedomSoft and going through them, and you're ready to hit the phone.
Okay, I'll do that.
Right at that moment. When you have a number to call, I want you or a salesperson on the phone, okay?
Yeah.
So you're right there. So, yeah, get that. It's in the coaching center, Upwork.com. We show you how to post an ad and start talking to Skip Tracers. And, again, it's not unlikely that you're going to need two or three on standby, right? People disappear. They don't call you back. They get hired on a permanent gig. So just don't put anything in your business with a bird dog, Skip Tracer, even salespeople for that matter. People are going to perform at different levels. So just be ready for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And if you're thinking ahead, and, you know, thinking 3 to 5 bird dogs and 2 to 3 Skip Tracers, and then regardless of what happens, the business can still get the things accomplished that it needs, and we don't lose time. Any other questions, Larry?
You guys have a Skip Tracer on staff?
We just go to Upwork.com and
that
hire
part, okay.
Yeah. We typically, and it's all in there, but we typically hire out of the Philippines. You know, the dollar converts well. We get good hourly rates over there. And then they're 14 hours ahead of us. So they can be working normal business hours over there. And then when you or a salesperson gets up in the morning and works normal business hours here, they're ahead of the game on the Skip Tracing end of things. So
yeah.
It kind of works nice. They're about half, you know, we're about opposite days from them. So
you wake up with the email ready to go.
Yeah, and they can work, and you know, instead of working U.S. business hours and being up all night, they can just work normal business hours over there, you know, be Skip Tracing for you, doing the research, and then when you're ready to get on the phone, the leads are ready to go. So.
Okay.
Perfect. Good luck. Good luck out of the Philippines. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome. Who else? I'll just let it simmer. Let it marinate for a minute. Somebody has a question. I can feel it.
All right, I got a question.
I knew it.
If you insist.
How do you hit a golf ball 300 yards, right?
No. I tried that. It's too hard, man. I don't do golf. I hang off frozen waterfalls. It's easier.
That is easier.
Okay, so I just have I had a headhunter just call me out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
And they're making me a pretty good offer to go up to Indian reservation, different Indian reservation. That's 24 hours. That's 2 weeks, 14, 12-hour shifts in a row. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to keep things going. That's going to be at the end of the month.
Okay.
I could use the hit of money. Pretty good right about now. So what would be your suggestion on how to play that?
Yeah, you would have to have somebody probably keep tabs on things. I know you have a salesperson. I don't know that they're really full time.
Well, I'm going to talk to one of those other people. Like after this, after the conversation you've been having with others.
Yeah.
There's another woman who said who suggested, well, why can't you hire two of us and see who does the best? And I said, well, I'm not sure I can keep both of you busy, but that was not the right answer. The right answer was, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to call. I called her
what,
back.
Yeah. What would your? Just I guess it depends on what your time to communicate and help some people out while you're on that job would be, whether you would have to find somebody else, you know, inside of this group or outside that says, hey, I can help keep tabs on things for you, or your team can call, you know, call me at this number for questions or whatever the case.
Right. Well, so far I haven't gotten anything
or,
going yet, so I'm not really
or
sure.
Or you can check in. Or you can check in with them. From up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I start at 2 in the afternoon. I go 2 in the afternoon to 2 in the morning. So, and I'm living a little closer to the hospital, so I have an extra hour out of a day. So I think what I could do is just make – I got about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and just make it – see if I can make it work with that amount of time.
Yeah. And it's just for a couple weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean they're going to want – they want to
step
on
the lead gen.
Yeah.
Make sure you have leads coming in.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm.
Salesperson on the phone.
I'm going to get another bird.
You know, you have come back to contracts.
Right.
Or at least have some conversations to follow up with.
Yeah. I mean, getting the contracts together, it'll take less and less time. The more I do it, and it'll be easier to populate, et cetera, because it'll be on automatic pretty much. In fact, I can. Do you have your salespeople start generating those, or how does that work?
Generating what? Contracts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Up front, I mean, they have to know how to do it, but yeah, Chris and his team for Rob, they don't. They just go right in and generate them, fire them out. Absolutely. Yeah, typically, up front, if you know, most salespeople that all of us hire are not going to have real estate specific experience or putting the contract together, and so we want to be involved in that obviously up front, but ideally you bring on a salesperson or people that you trust and that know how to run the numbers and can follow the data and say, hey, investors in this neighborhood are paying 20, so we need to be at 15 or better, and they can just go right to paperwork on that stuff and turn it over and say, here's another one. So,
right.
Yeah, it'll be a team effort out of the gate because they're going to rely on you for that up front for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
But yeah, when they get trucking, absolutely. Just have them post it. Give it over to whoever is on the disposition side and said, here's another one. Go move it. For sure.
Okay. Thanks.
Well,
Mike, this is Esther. Can you hear me?
Hey, Esther. I can.
Hi. Okay.
Hi.
I have some questions, but it's mostly about just because the gal that was going to start for me on Monday disappeared. So I was working on FreedomSoft, and I have some questions because I'm having difficulty navigating through there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe this is something that I need to talk with you more in line about how to move things around in FreedomSoft.
What are you trying to move?
Well, I have a, let's see. Okay, I have a pie chart. And the pie chart says that there's 9 in there. But when I go to that particular campaign or whatever it's supposed to be tracking, there's actually 10. So I don't understand why the pie chart and what's actually in there don't match.
Yeah, I'll have to send me the name of the campaign. That one I'd have to look at and just log into your account and check it out.
Okay.
So yeah, email
and
it to me.
Email it to you? Okay, yeah. Yeah, because I'm having difficulty
What are we going to do about this salesperson that didn't show up?
Oh, I've got a couple of others that I'm going to be calling here tomorrow.
Beautiful.
And yeah, because that she was really excited about it, and so was I, and then nothing happened. So I'm back to the drawing board there. And,
yep.
You know,
next.
I need to figure out how to maneuver within FreedomSoft so that when I have a salesperson, I can actually tell them, okay, I'd like for you to start calling on these because they've been skip traced. So this is what I need you to call on.
Yep.
So that I can keep track of what they're doing and who's doing it.
Right. Yeah, okay. Let me know what that campaign looks like. And then really what you want to happen is your skip tracer is going to go in and they're going to be looking for new leads. They want ones that say new, right? And then after they've been skip traced, you either want them to change the status, which you can do custom statuses, whatever you want. You can use the workflow automation piece if you want. But something that indicates that that lead has been skip traced. If they don't do a status change, they can just change the color. That works too. There are about 8 different colors in there, and you can change a lead to a different color. So you could have them, you know, say after the skip trace, turn it orange or green, or it really doesn't matter. Maybe turn it green, and that means it's ready for a phone call or something like that. And that way, when your salesperson goes in, they're either looking for the status that says this lead has been skip traced, or they're looking for the color. Both methods work, right? It's just 2 different ways to do the same thing. But that way your VA knows what to look for. Hey, this lead needs to be skip traced so they can do it. And then when whoever's making the phone calls logs in, they say, okay, I go right to these leads and start dialing.
Okay. Now, that's the other question, too, is like with the pie chart and the colors that don't match up with what we have selected, like those that we are not going to be working on at the moment, we've identified as red, but the pie chart doesn't match up with the red.
You don't get to pick the colors in the pie chart. It's gonna assign a color to your different statuses. So you can't.
And so we have to
match. Customize.
We have to match the pie chart.
Well, you can't customize which color you want to use on the pie chart.
Okay, so we need to match up with a pie chart.
You can, yeah. Or it shows you what status is there. So, yeah, you could do that if you wanted to.
Okay.
You could go off that. Yep.
Okay, so one more question. I don't know if Al is on today or not, but...
He was.
He was earlier. Okay,
yep.
I lost his number. Because he had given his number, and I was going to call him, and I never got around to it. But I had signed up with Indeed, and I got an email that I was being charged $500 and some for having an account with him. And I go like, oh, my God, I can't handle that.
Yeah, not sure.
And
I don't know how can troubleshoot it for you. You probably want to email Indeed and ask him what's going on. He was talking about a method where he never put a credit card in. So.
Right. And I did, and they want to charge me $500 and some.
Yeah. Well, if you pulled leads, that was what you signed up for. I don't know how Indeed works. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
What I did was they said assign a number, and so I said, okay, $5 a day to keep you registered. It keeps you closer to the top of the pack or whatever. And so that's what I did. I put $5, and that's what they charged me. And I did it for, you know, a week or whatever. So, but But I don't think if you don't give them a number, I think they'll just make a number up.
Yeah, you're going to want to call Indeed, Esther, I would think.
Okay.
See what the heck's going on, but.
Hey, this is Hal. I never paid anything for that, ever.
Well, they first they charged me like a dollar something, and I thought, like, okay, well, I can handle that. But then next thing I know is they're telling me they're going to charge me $500 some for having an account. But I've never called into any of those people that responded to my ad in Indeed because I wasn't sure how to do it. And, you know, and now I'm being charged for that just because they actually clicked on it, that they were interested in the job.
Yeah, I think that's how it works, whether you call them back or not. You're going to want to get a hold of Indeed on this one, though. But if they, I mean, they have the traffic. They're paying you for traffic of people looking for work. That's how Indeed gets paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So when they have people, you know, you post an ad and then people click on it and they brought the traffic to your ad. And so that's how they make money. So, yeah, you're going to want to get in touch with their support department.
Okay. All right.
They've got a. Hey, Mike, it's Hal.
Yeah.
They got a free deal. I mean, my thing says free right on it. It's whether you want. Supposedly, you get more leads if you pay. But I, you know, like I told you guys, I got 150 of them the first day. So I didn't need any more than that. But they've never charged me. I've run three ads.
Yeah,
but
this has come up three or four times, Hal, and you've always said that you never put a card in.
No, absolutely I won't put a card in. And they ask me. See, the thing is, I put it in my name. I didn't use a company name or anything else. I don't know if that made a difference or what, but it asked if you wanted to, you know, what do they call it, sponsor or whatever it is, so much a day, and I just said no. And I went with
the
free one.
You didn't put a company name in. I think that's the key.
Yeah, I think that is the key. I didn't put in a company name. I just put in my own personal name. I didn't use my company web or email. I used my personal email, and I've never paid anything ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't put a company name either. I put it under my personal name.
You must have answered a question though that. Maybe different or something because they ask you if you want to, what do they call it? I don't know if they call it sponsor or what. I was about half asleep driving, so I didn't hear all of it. But they ask you something about if you want to do, like, they asked me if I wanted to do $5 a day because I'd get two to three times more people. And I just said no. And it said continue. I hit the continue button. It was free. It's a free account.
Hmm. Well,
maybe they just like me because I'm an old man. I don't know. Who knows?
They should like me.
But no, after this came up, I was talking to somebody else recently, and they used the free Indeed as well. So there's both. There's the free Indeed, and then there's the paid Indeed.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll have to give them a call and find out. You know, get further tips on. What happened?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's my sad story.
Let's get a good salesperson on, and this will quickly change to a happy story.
I'll work on that tomorrow, and I should have somebody on board over the weekend.
Beautiful.
That's what I'm looking forward to. So.
Beautiful.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else, Esther? Send me that campaign and I'll look at it for you. Just send an email to the person.
I will.
Center.
I will.
Okay. Thanks.
I will. Thanks for your input,
well.
Yeah.
Hal, when somebody thanks you for your Indeed input, you just say Indeed.
Indeed.
That's right.
You're welcome.
I'm just here to answer real estate questions and keep things lighthearted.
Lighthearted, Mike.
Lighthearted but serious.
Yep.
Who else? Quinn, I heard you check in, and I know you guys have a couple contracts. Are you still on? Nope. All right. Maybe we covered everything. That'll be my assumption anyway. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff still happening, like always. Keep it moving forward. Again, any kind of question comes up. It's either if we're on an office hours day, bring it to the call. If we're not, you got to send an email right away. I know I've had a few conversations with some folks that said, yeah, this issue came up 4 days ago, 7 days ago, 10 days ago. We can't have that. The second you have a question, send it in so we can get these things answered and keep these ships moving forward, all right? So, yeah, if anything comes up over, tomorrow or before Monday, let us know. All right, everybody. That's a wrap. Have a good afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. And keep the momentum. Like I said, any questions, get them in. We'll get them answered right away, and we'll chat with everybody soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Take care, everyone.
Thanks a lot. See you later.
Yep, take care. Bye.